Rafe convened a small dinner meeting of experts both inside and outside ISC to discuss the coming attack. Dinner over, they were tackling the hard questions.
It's not that hard to knock out an Ansible platform. They're big, they're fragile, they can't be jumped around like a ship. And Turex attacked Ansibles before.
Not as easy to hit as a planet, though. They do move some, and they're easier to miss at their size. A ship would have to get pretty close to just lob a rocket one and hope to hit it. We, on the other hand...
Rafe had not, previously, paid much attention to the many ways someone in space could inflict severe damage on a planet. Nor had many in Nexus Defense, though it should have been their job. Now, with a vast volume of space to protect with minimal resources, the gaping holes in Nexus 2's ability to keep the planet from being hit by any of a number of weapons were all too obvious.
It would take time. The planet's orbit is predictable, and it's large enough, but it would take weeks to get one of the chunks of rocks up there to an interception.
Or months. Depends on how fast you want the attack to be.
10 to 7 chunks big enough to cause catastrophic damage at least, you said. Nobody's mapped them. There's no way to know if someone strapped a space drive onto one of them a month ago.
That we do know. We have the scans. We know none of the big ones is on an intercept course right now.
What's the fastest, unconventional, nasty thing they could do?
Install FTL drives and a nav computer on several large enough rocks, micro-jump them into atmosphere, and then turn on the drives again. The down-jump would produce a massive electromagnetic pulse. The attempt to jump out would vaporize the rocks. It's the combined mass thing.
That could be done?
Theoretically. Practically speaking, we don't know the integrity of those rocks. Taking one through an up-jump transition might convert it to pebbles right there.
So we may have rocks, but we definitely have a large fleet. I think we'll stick to realities for the time being.
Rafe looked at the holo display set up in the conference room. Depending on which vector Turek came in on, he should quickly see a large fleet, which he would know to be weaker than it looked. With any luck at all, he would not see those elements of the fleet that were not as weak as they had been. 5 squadrons now operated on AI control, programs hastily adapted from those used on targeting drones. The 6th was Rafe's one hope for effective action by ISC ships. Still near obsolete, still mounted with older weapons, but with repairs and upgrades as complete as possible in the time they'd had since Boxtop, Nexus's own fixed defenses, mounted on rocks in the outer system, were positioned primarily to guard the usual traffic lanes. Nexus's in-system ship defenses now lingered close to Nexus 1, the planet first settled and still mostly agricultural. It had a moon large enough to offer concealment without too great a gravity well. If all went well, anyway.
We've lost number 4!
Rafe had seen it almost that fast. Platform 4 wasn't transmitting. 3 light hours out from the planet. They wouldn't find out what happened until then.
Warn the others. Double staffing on all positions. It was probably sabotage.
Moments later, Platform 3 reported in. Someone on regular assignment there had tried to cut off power, had been observed by backup crew. The other platforms reported similar acts of attempted sabotage. Over the next hour, several from each. 4 came back up, reported in, then went down again, only to come back.
Redundancy is so useful. And no sign of Turek yet, but I'll bet within a few hours...
The lights went out. Rafe dropped to the floor and crawled quickly to the nearest wall, setting his back against it. He stood cautiously. He could just see out the window. Instead of the city center lights, he saw only the pulse of emergency beacons on the tops of buildings, their timing proving they were on backup power.
Sir Dunbarger!
Rafe!
Rafe pulled the hood of his personal armor out from under his collar and over his head, slipped on the goggles that let him see more than natural vision could, shrugged off his jacket, and eased it silently to the floor, took off his shirt, then set his armor to black. He checked all his weapons and equipment, unholstered his pistol, and loosened his knives in their sheaths. People near the table were holding each other, clustered, beginning to move toward the window. His security detail and Penny's both had weapons out and were pulling on goggles like his. He could reassure them, or he could do something else. Across the boulevard, lights came on in the Mercer building, floor by floor, as emergency generators kicked in. Now, light from the window was bright enough to see expressions as well as bodies. Far across the city, lights were still on. Their glow lit the sky. Only the area around ISC's headquarters was dark. All at once, Rafe knew what the purpose of this dark patch was, besides alarming the populace. ISC's headquarters, like every other building on the planet, could be watched from one of the satellites orbiting the planet, and for that reason had been built with confusion in mind and a very sophisticated stealth shield. From space, it did not look like what it was. But the stealthing required power. ISC had its own multi-redundant backup power system that should have switched on instantly, preserving their disguise as well as their connection to the Ansible system. Yet here they were, in the middle of a big black patch, radiating in all the ways unstealthed buildings and machinery and transmissions did radiate. An ideal target, obvious to anyone who stripped the satellites of their data, even hours from now. Someone here had to have done that. Someone who knew exactly when Turek was entering the system.
He's in the building.
The others turned to him.
And he has an Ansible. And right now he's busy telling Turek that the big black spot in the middle of the city is us. We have to find him.
Near the backups.
He could have turned those off hours ago. We need someone down there turning them back on. Penny, you stay here with security. I'm the only one who knows what one of those things looks like. We need someone at the top able to answer the calls that will come in when power's restored.
The satellite he'll be wanting to work with isn't geosynchronous. It'll be overhead in about 20 minutes.
Others could take the pictures.
Yes, but that's the best for what Turek will want. And if we can get the shield back up before it gets a good picture...
Good. Then you take charge of that. I'm going. Gary, as you find security, have them spread out and look for a box about this size.
Rafe gestured, knowing that Gary's goggles were giving him enough light to see the size he meant.
You're not going alone.
We don't have time. I have an idea.
Rafe was already on his way, knowing that only those with low-light goggles could see him as more than a shadow in shadows. He had seen the Ansible, he realized. He had seen it on an equipment rack in a corner. And he had seen it again, on an equipment rack tucked into the corner of a workroom. It had been positioned backside out every time, and he'd seen an ISC logo and serial number plate. But it was exactly the right size, just a little deeper than the rack, and a slightly darker gray than ISC standard. Yet no one noticed those details. He had not noticed those details. He kicked off his shoes before he was halfway to the stairs, pulling out the padded, grippy footwear he had favored for adventures in his rogue days. Up here, no one else was in the corridor.
Which of the workshops?
Not on this side of the building, he was sure of that. He tried to think what else had been in that workshop, what distinguished it.
When did I see that Ansible and its cart last?
The day the Secretary of Defense had died, when he had rushed through less familiar corridors. Someone, a man wearing a technical services blue overtunic, had hastily pushed it aside as Rafe had hurried past. Now Rafe queried his implant, but the remembered face found no match. ISC HQ had too many employees. He had not loaded a complete database. He could, however, find the place again. Left here, down a flight of stairs, pitch black without even a glimmer of light, but for the ghostly imprint of feet and hands that had warmed the treads and handrail, just enough for his goggles to register. Out the door, patched with handprints brighter than the footprints. Right along here, right again at a T-intersection. Light flared around him, his goggles damped quickly. Someone had turned the emergency power on. The light was weaker than usual, from tiny bulbs in a line along the ceiling. Ahead, a scatter of objects in the corridor.
Something someone stumbled over during a panicky run out of an office?
As he came closer, Rafe saw that they were placed to cause a stumble, not as the result of one. Fallen boxes would not have landed with a glass full of spoons balanced on top of them. Beyond them, and across corridor, was another similar barrier. Someone wanted to know if anyone came down that corridor in the dark. Rafe pulled out his long-handled mirror and extended it past the corner. Sure enough, similar barriers on the cross corridor, but farther from the intersection. One door in either direction was open. Light spilled out of one. The other was dark. Rafe's skin tingled. Definitely not an innocent construction. He should call in, let his people know what he'd found. But whoever it was might hear. Rafe pulled his mirror back, slid it into his pocket, and flattened himself against the wall, crouching behind one of the boxes with a glass on top. Rafe got a glimpse of an ordinary technical services tunic with the ISC logo on the back. He waited until the footsteps faded into that room, then stood. The quality of light changed as whoever it was almost closed that door. He really should call in. Gary would be furious if he didn't. But this was too much fun, and it had been too long.